Welcome to the Unscripted Podcast. My name is Corby LaCroix, and the song you're hearing right now is called Great and Mighty One, available on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you get your music. But for now, recording from the Unscripted Studio, here's your host and my friend, Aaron Conrad.
Great Redeemer, God of grace.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Unscripted from my studios here in Hilliard, Ohio. This is going to be fun today. This is going to be fun. I am a TikTok user. Don't judge me. Don't at me. I like TikTok. So somebody I stumbled across is my guest today. So Ant, will you just introduce yourself and we'll go from there?
Yeah, my name is Anthony Ramondi. I'm also known as Conservative Ant on multiple different platforms, TikTok included. That's actually where I started at. And I'm on Instagram and X and all other platforms.
You really are. And so you are a content creator. So there, we have so much to unpack today. And I know we only have a limited time. Let's start at the beginning. You're a content creator. Like, when did you go viral? Because you have a ton of followers on all platforms. So what was the moment that you went viral?
I actually am originally from Chicago. I live in Florida now. But during the pandemic, I was frustrated and worried and annoyed like every other American was. And being in a state like Illinois, it was locked down not only the first time that the nationwide lockdown happened, but we got extended lockdowns. We got, you know, we started having family members that weren't able to be with their family members when they passed away, not able to go to funerals. My brother's wedding was canceled. So I think the built-up frustration, and I had been scrolling on TikTok a little bit because of COVID and, you know, not having anything to do. And then I just made a video one day, really, really ticked off at my kitchen table, and I slammed my hands on the table. And I'm like, and this was during the BLM George Floyd protests. Not that I have any problem with the protests, anything that's peaceful, I'm totally cool with. But what I couldn't wrap my mind around was nothing was being done about thousands of people in the streets, shoulder to shoulder, while there's people who haven't been able to live their lives in months. And I did a video and it went viral. And I woke up the next day and my partner was like, holy crap, your videos. I'm like, what is going on? It was like 100,000 or maybe like 60,000 followers on TikTok, like overnight.
Yeah.
And I just continued to speak out against the government and the, and everything else. So
I had a post go viral once, a blog post back when blogging was cool. So and literally it was a post I did not even write. It was about, it's a book called Rules for My Son. And it was 10 things. And I literally copy pasted and I put in the post because I wanted to give honor to the guy that wrote the book. I just pulled 10, 25 things and it went viral. And so I have been there myself. Like, yeah, unfortunately I have not captured it as you have, and you've taken it to a whole nother platform, but for a minute I got to go viral and it's crazy. Like your phone's blowing up. It's running out of battery by noon. You're getting notifications left and right. You're like, what is happening right now? I just put this out into the world. So I love that. What I do love is that you have taken it to an entire new platform. And so let me put a pin in this really quick. First of all, will you let my audience know about you? Like, who are you? Can you just introduce yourself maybe more in the platform of just who you are, what you believe, and all those kind of things?
Yeah. So originally born and raised just outside of the city of Chicago, I am first generation Italian. So my parents all came from Italy. And I was always raised with just respecting people and being able for, you know, being able to live your life the way you want. And I was never very political. So I was a stark liberal. I'm a two-time Obama voter. I was very involved in the Chicago gay community. I had a lot of friends. And I started to wake up to government probably in 2014, 2015. And then I believe that Donald Trump kind of opened my eyes to media bias. And then I started doing my own research. And once I started doing that, I really wanted to take it to the next level. So I went to Illinois Media School out in Lombard, Illinois. I wanted to be a radio host. I wanted to be a podcaster and I wanted to be a news anchor. And when they told me that if I wanted any part of the media world, I probably shouldn't be or have any type of conservative value or thought process. And they said that I would never make it in the industry. So I spent my own money to do that schooling, got through it because it was my own money. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to take a back seat. I'm not going to do this anymore. And so I really felt deflated. But then I continue to see the way that the government in general, and this is not only liberal or Democrat politics, this is also the right, this is Republican politics as well. That's when my video went viral. And I said, okay, this is my niche. This is what I need to do. Like, there is a platform for me. And I met so many great pro-American content creators and kind of found my home. And I started to hone in on like my talent a little bit more. And then I just started really being passionate about different organizations like the Protect the Children's Movement, trafficking, comedy. Like, I'm kind of a jack of all trades almost. And I continued to go on and on and on. And here we are now.
I love it because my first podcast, I did not start off. And so much like yourself, I started off during the pandemic. We saw the George Floyd thing. And so this very platform started because I got together with friends that were not my same color or same beliefs. And we sat down and we did a Zoom call and it went out and I put it out in the world and people were like, oh, that's awesome. That's amazing. So, you know, I that's why I love this so much, because I think we have to be able to sit down with people that we don't agree with or that we're not like or don't look like us in this world today. So we have a lot to cover. Let me ask a lot of questions and then I really want to dig deep into the politics side. And I will tell you up front, anyone listening to this podcast knows I don't touch politics. There's a lot of topics I don't typically get into, but if I'm going to get into them, it's going to be with you because I do. I adore you on TikTok and I love your voice. And so you're just such an important voice right now for this entire platform, all the platforms that you're on. It's so important. So, all right, you went to Italy over the summer and I love that. I have a very dear friend who played softball in Italy for one of their professional teams. She loved Italy. When you were there, you were experiencing the things I think about are there was water available to everyone, fruit available on the trees. You could just pick off the tree and eat. So I don't want to take your story, but how different is it for those of us who have never left our little community in the world, you know, in the United States, our comfort, our gas stations, our mall, whatever we be, like how amazing was it to go back to Italy?
It was super amazing. I definitely feel connection because that's my roots. I mean, that's, you know, walking on the same streets that my father played in as a kid, you know, has huge meaning to me and my soul. But we've traveled up to a lot of places, not just Italy. I mean, we've been to Barcelona, Spain, the Dominican Republic, Mexico, you know, Costa Rica. Like, we've been to some beautiful places. And one thing that I think my takeaway from Italy is something that the United States lacks is family culture, family value,
right?
And, you know, really embracing the town that you live in and being involved and watching out for each other. And other countries also care for other people because they have the time to care, I feel like. So when you say things like, you know, people are picking fruit off of trees. Yeah, because they're landscaping their house with orange trees and figs and not tulips. You know, fig trees are wild, you know, and it's very similar in Florida, I feel like, because we have papayas and coconuts and like all kinds of stuff here, but there's a law against you going onto somebody's property and taking a mango.
Right.
So it's, you know, it's a very different culture in other countries as far as, you know, water being available to people. Water is a very basic necessity.
Right.
The United States is a corporation. It's not a culture. I feel that the United States has become a money machine and a control aspect of our lives. And so I'm not saying that the government of Europe is the best or Italy's government is the best. There's definitely a lot of holes in it. But I think that they have faith, and I don't care who you what God you believe in or what religious background you have, because I think faith falls in every realm of religion. But they do instill and have faith in, you know, the Catholic religion, like, you know, praying to saints. They and I think that kind of pulls them all together, and they're like, wait a minute, they take a step back and they really enjoy life and food. And that is why they're mentally healthy. That is why they're physically healthy. And I mean, when you think of water, it's like, why shouldn't everybody just be awarded water for free? Like, why, right. Why is that something that we're paying for? It's literally the one thing you need to survive. But our homeless here in the United States don't have access to right. things like that.
Right.
Whereas when you go to Europe, and this is any country in Europe, most of them have that at least at bare minimal, whether it be through a well system, or I think that it might be France, where you can actually go up to water stations or water bottle filling stations all over the country. Like, they don't even sell plastic water bottles. And I don't know which country it is, but I saw Zac Efron do a special on it on Netflix, so I know that it's true.
That's he was right. in this
but, you know, it's just a different, they're more passionate about life than they are about anything else. They're more passionate about family than they are about anything else. And I feel that when I went there this time as an adult, and I've been there a couple times in the past 5 years, but I've been more politically motivated now to ask questions. They can't wrap their mind around what's going on here in the United States.
Mm.
And I have cousins that are very involved in politics. They're super, super liberal. But liberalism there is much different than liberalism here. And I think it's because they have faith instilled in them. They have some type of religion that is instilled in them. And we don't have that here. We don't have that culture. We have the, I want to be oppressed. I want to be offended by something. I want to be pissed off today. Who can I annoy with that? Whereas other countries are like, shut up. I don't want to hear. Like, I don't care. I don't care. Zip it. So yeah. I know that's a lot, but.
No, I think it's amazing because, again, I have now two friends that have played professionally there, and both of them were, I think, very just inspired by the entire culture. And I think that's the other thing I will say is we just know our little bubble, because mm-hmm. that's what we were born into. That's what we have been raised into. That's what we understand is our little bubble. But when we step outside that, and that's why I love your TikTok, is because you stepped outside of that and showed that there's water stations for people that need them. It's free. Walk up, get you a water. Don't go to the gas station and pay $5 for an Aquafina.
Go, right.
And the other thing I think that they appreciated when they were there was that people take time. They pause the entire day to yes. sit down. Everything is, so it's a pace thing, I think. You know, in the U.S., we're got to make that money, got to get that bag, got to go home, got to do.
And they say that we're very privileged. You know,
we are privileged, absolutely.
I wear a shirt a lot that says American privilege, because we talk right. a lot about white privilege and all these different privileges.
Right.
American privilege is above all when you look at it from the spectrum of the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. You know, I might complain about something like, oh my God, it was so hot there. They don't have air conditioning and central air conditioning units in their buildings. Well, they don't care because they weren't raised right. with that. And right. here we're like, oh my God, the air conditioning is set at 72. Oh my God, that's so, I'm like, you know, like we care about things that don't matter. It's like really first world problems for us.
Right, right. It really is. And that's the thing too. And when we talk about, when I talk to friends of mine that are from the African-American community, you know, I didn't understand white privilege. I thought it just meant that you were born with a silver spoon in your mouth. It doesn't mean that. It actually means that when I get pulled over, I don't have to worry. I don't have to put my hands on the wheel. I don't have to do a lot of things that another community has to do. And I think, to your point, I think we just don't understand, because we just don't understand. We've always been here.
Yeah, and I want to say something to that too. I've never really touched on the race issue because I don't feel like I have skin in that game because I am white. I'm considered Caucasian. So I'm always the person that's like, please don't speak for my community, right? So I'm part of the gay community, quote unquote. And I there's nothing more that I hate than a straight person trying to be like an ally. I think they're probably the worst advocate out there. Because they don't know what a teenager goes through when they're coming out of the closet. They don't know any of these things. As a white person has no idea what black people go through on an everyday basis, whether it's getting pulled over, like you said, or maybe not getting a job. I don't know because I don't really even understand racism because I was born in a culture and in an environment in a, I guess growing up in Illinois is very diverse. So growing up as a kid, I had friends of every walk of life. So I don't understand that, but I do understand that it exists. And I think that there's bad apples in every organization, every company that you work for. There's going to be people who are homophobic. There's going to be people that are racist. You unfortunately can't control that. But I can't imagine what it would be like for a black parent to raise a black child and have to have that conversation with them of, hey, when you get pulled over, this is something that you might come across.
Right, right.
I can't speak against that because I'm not black. Right. And other white people should be more conscious of that and say, I don't know what they go through. I'm not that person. I'm not black. And that's why I have such a problem with, I actually don't even have a problem really with cultured liberals. I have a problem with white liberals because I think that white liberals are literally the most Lord Savior. Like they have this big savior complex, pat on the back. They want to be allies of all the things and they have no idea. And that's why I always say when BLM was going on, when those marches were going on, I think that the idea of it was an absolutely amazing movement. It was hijacked, though, Aaron. It was hijacked. And you know who hijacked it? White, suburban, rich, liberal teenagers. Right. That's who hijacked it. Just like they hijacked the gay community. Little, rich, white, little, red, blue hair, liberal girls that have nothing else going on. COVID happened. You know, Jeffree Star said it best. COVID happened and everybody got bored. Now we have pronouns.
Right.
I don't care what you are. You can say that you're a rhinoceros. I really don't give a shit. But you're not going to make me try to come up with a new book of words so you feel better. I'm sorry, honey. I'm a millennial. We don't care if your feelings get hurt. We don't. Yeah. That's my little piece.
That's what I enjoy about you is you're honest. Because I don't think there's enough people that are honest in the world today. Whether you like it or not. And if you don't like it, there's an unfollow button, right? Like that's what I feel like is in social media, some reason we get on social media and we follow somebody and we don't like them. So we disagree with them. Well, then unfollow. There's an unfollow button. If I don't like you and I'm sitting across the table with you, I'm not going to have lunch with you again. Like we're done. You know what I mean? But in social media, we keep following and then we get more frustrated. Anyway, man, we have so much to cover. All right. But I do want to get to this. I do really want to talk about your generosity because you do live in Florida. And so a lot of weird stuff goes down in Florida. And I have a question about DeSantis too. And we're going to get into the politics. We have so much to cover. All right. So let me just talk about this because, you know, hurricanes happen. And you do live in Florida. And man, your heart, I want people to really, really hear, maybe if you've listened so far and you don't agree with something that my guest has said, please hear his heart. Because at the end of the day, it's about our heart. It's not about what we believe and all this other stuff that we get into. We get frustrated. We fight. Look, at the end of the day, where's your heart? And your heart in the midst of, you know, hurricanes, disasters, things that have happened in Florida, man, you've done a lot of things in generosity and that made me love you even more because it does. So can you just talk a little bit about some of the things you've done in Florida so people understand my guest? And again, if they don't agree with your politics, they don't agree with some of the things you've said, I just want you to agree with the fact that this man is very generous and you've done some amazing things right there in your hometown. Can you talk about your generosity?
Thank you. And everybody has the freedom to disagree. That's why we live in such a beautiful country. So
absolutely. We got to keep it that way.
Right. So actually, before Hurricane Ian, I had really gotten into wanting to be a little bit more of like a humanitarian and doing stuff to help other people. And one of the things that really triggered that in my mind was when I saw that Jackson, Mississippi was completely out of water. And this was probably 2 years ago, or right before Ian, like no water, like they couldn't bathe. And historically, the reality is Jackson, Mississippi is more of a low income city. So I just went on social media. I'm like, look, if there is a truck driver, somebody who has, a 16 wheel, like I want to fill up a truck with water bottles. I want to go up to Jackson, Mississippi. So that was my first mission. That was successful. We did that. It was absolutely amazing. And it was hugs were exchanged and cries were exchanged with people that did not agree politically.
Love it.
But we helped each other in that manner. Then Ian hit and I cried for a day. And then I said, okay, people need help. So I went to a food pantry that is in not so good of a neighborhood here in South Florida, Southwest Florida. It's called Gladiola's Food Pantry. Shout out to them. Love y'all. And I said, what do y'all need? I'm big on social media. I wanna plug it in. Like, let's go. And it was months of just coming together, pulling people out of the water, pulling people out of their houses, cooking food. Like, we started grilling food from day one and going up and down these neighborhoods and saying, hello, anybody out there? Food, hot food, gratis, food, food. And I battled Red Cross and I battled the government because they came in and didn't want us to help. But they weren't helping. FEMA wasn't helping. Right. They were kicking people out of their houses. And I said, well, until you stop taking up our hotels and you start putting them in hotels, I'm not going anywhere. So, and that's the thing is, like, people with Biden masks came up. People with Trump hats came up. Yeah. Everybody, and they won't show that on the media. They won't show that on the news. We cried. We hugged each other. We pulled people out of moldy houses. We dropped off mattresses, cots, food, diapers, everything you can think of. We got the food pantry a brand new roof. We got them shipping containers so they can put all of people from all over the United States were filling up trucks because I posted, and then other content creators started posting from all over Florida, Georgia, of the entire southern part of the country. She didn't have any room for all this stuff anymore. Mm-hmm. But we stuck together. We did it. And I think that it really showed me that politics is just like sports, unfortunately. You have a team that you like and you have a team that you don't like. Mm-hmm. But after the game, you go home and you bust each other's balls a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then you move on.
Yeah.
You know, I it aggravates me for people that don't understand where I'm coming from politically. And I'm sure it upsets them that I don't understand them where they come politically. But I think most of the country is actually pretty center. Mm-hmm. And we just don't realize it because the media has set it up like a game. Mm-hmm. So so the humanitarian situation and issue, and then just 3 months ago, the Big Bend region here in Florida, up in the Gulf, they had a Hurricane Dahlia that went through. We did the same thing. We came together. We packed a truck. Two blown out tires later, we made it up there. We dropped off food. And the second the paramedic saw me get out of my truck, she just lost it. Just in a tear, like almost fell to her knees. She's like, oh my God, I thought nobody was coming. Mm. And I was like, nope, we're here. We gotcha. We got everything you need. And so I think more people need to do that.
We have a choice every day. We can choose to be a blessing or we can choose to be a curse. We can choose to make social media important or we can choose to take social media down a bad path. And what I appreciate about you is you stand on that platform and you speak your truth. And when there's a need, you back it up. Mark Hall once said, you can say what you think, but you'll live what you believe. And so in me, what I see in your platform is that you live what you believe. So when there was a hurricane in Florida, when the things that you just talked about happened, you lived what you believe. And I think at the end of the day, when this is all over, that's what's going to be important, man. And I appreciate that about you.
Thank you. That's very kind words. And you know, I wish I can be in every state when there's a disaster. That's just me. You know, It kills me that I couldn't, you know, Hawaii is not accessible. So, you know, I could not go and help the people of Hawaii. I wish I could, you know, but we can't help every single person. Unfortunately, we can't help every state. We can't help every country. But what we can do is we can help locally, at least at the minimum, right, in your residing state, I think is important. And, you know, ever since I was a little boy, Aaron, I've always wanted to be in entertainment. My family are entertainers. They're singers. They perform at many different Italian American events in the Midwest. I've always wanted that, but I wanted that and I wanted to mix it together with some type of substance and not just be that entertainer. And, you know, I do other things too. Besides the humanitarian stuff, I've linked up with Vet Life for Life and, you know, the 22 a day are men and women that give us the opportunity to have a podcast, to have TikTok, to be able to speak our minds freely, to have all of our constitutional rights in the United States. 22 a day means 22 veterans are dying of suicide. And I think that the number, I almost know that the number is more, but just bringing that awareness as a civilian to that and supporting the men and women that don't have an outlet, don't have somebody talking. You don't have to, you know, I wish I would have served our country, but I can serve our country in other ways.
Right. Right.
And so this is a way for people to also serve their country, whether it be humanitarian or bringing awareness.
Oh, gosh, I love that. And that's why you're one of my favorite followers. And I love you to death. All right. I want to talk about one thing, and it's completely out of order. It feels weird to talk about this now. So I have a question for you. People, I think, go on TikTok or people go on Instagram stories or people go on YouTube shorts or whatever the latest thing is, and they monetize it. So, or they think, people ask me all the time, how you make money on podcasts? I'm like, you don't. I mean, unless your name is Joe Rogan. You don't.
Can one day.
You can. Yeah. Like, hey, if some betting company wants to give you $1 million to sling their ad, awesome.
Yeah.
But that's not realistic because there's 5 million podcasts in the world. So let me ask you, as a TikTok influencer, just quickly, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. I just so people have an understanding, when someone sees someone on TikTok who is an influencer, how do you monetize like that? I don't even know. Like, is that your job? Is this what you do every day? Because I know you create a lot of content across a lot of platforms.
Yeah.
Is this your job?
Yeah. I would have never thought that I would have left my corporate job for this. Yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah. I've had to find ways to monetize myself. One thing that I will say is where there's a will, there's a way. Yes, the entertainment industry, which is how I look at it, it's a new way of entertainment. You know, people can support you. I love that. People, I always wear stuff that, you know, I'm sponsored by. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they pay whatever they can. I am not conventionally monetized like other influencers that are more left leaning because they don't monetize conservatives. But TikTok actually has been pretty good lately with a new influencer program. Listen, I'm blessed that I have a partner that has a decent job.
Right, right.
You know, the combined income helps. But yeah, it was a long road, Aaron, but you can monetize. I do monetize, and I do have a lot of affiliate companies that brings in an income throughout the month.
I love that. All right. And so because my wife has a good job and she's got great benefits. And so that's important is so people ask me all the time, how do you make money on podcasts? I'm like, you don't. And so I do things myself, affiliates and all those kind of things. So I appreciate that. I think it's important that we give a realistic view of, and I'm not, look, man, you're so far way down the freeway beyond me in terms of, I have zero influence. I sent you the little picture of my platform.
Sure,
it's like a 4x4. No, man. Anyway. All right. But it is important for people to realize that that's the people that you consume on these platforms. And so if you're a fan, you know, please support my guest because he's doing amazing things. He really is. And
thank you.
So please support those things. And we're going to get to the links too at the minute. All right. Last thing I want to ask you, there have been changes and challenges in social media. Twitter changed their name to X. I mean, you know, they opened up. Look, at the end of the day, y'all can go to Threads, but I'm still going to be a Twitter guy because I love what Elon's doing. I'm just going to say, I don't know if we agree, but I do love what Elon's doing. You are on TikTok, which is a big platform. You're also on Instagram and all the others. So what changes as a TikTok influencer since you started? Mm-hmm. And you know, you tend to push the envelope of what TikTok may or may not accept. What changes have you seen in TikTok?
I think that TikTok is more ran by AI and not actual humans. Mm. So, you know, I think the myth that a lot of, and I'm not bashing any of my conservative fellow conservatives or content creators, but you know, it's like, oh, I'm shadow banned. Oh, I'm this. Oh, the algorithm. Oh, I'm that. AI has algorithms are really ran by AI and what people watch. I'm a conservative content creator and no conservatives pop up on my TikTok feed at all. So I think it's probably because I look at cooking things and nostalgia things and like stuff that I like. But there's flag words that AI picks up. And I'm not saying that you need to suppress your voice in any way, but I've kind of learned those flag, you know, those red flag words that'll kind of trigger stuff. I know what words not to say. I think that I'm an anomaly because I've been able to kind of mix politics with comedy. And sometimes I get that person that will comment, they're like, I don't agree with your politics, but you're hilarious. And so I and that's why I think like people are like, oh, I want to really hate him, but that was actually pretty funny.
It's true. Right.
You know, so, and it's different for everybody, but it is what it is. I mean, that's why I put out so much content because that if one of those videos hits, then, you know, at least something hit, but that's why I do it full time. That's why the support is so important for us.
And how do they support you? So let's just let me go right there, right quick, because we just talked about it. How can people support you and your vision and your message and your content?
Yeah, liking videos, sharing videos, telling people about me. I have a link tree set up on my Instagram and on my TikTok. So any of the brands that I support, which most of the brands that you'll see in there are all small businesses. Besides GhostBed, GhostBed is one of my actual sponsors. They sponsor me. I'm very blessed to have GhostBed as one of my sponsors. But yeah, so people subscribe to my Facebook page or my Instagram. You know, I mean, it's $4, $5, but it helps keeping me home so I can continue to make content that everybody says that they love so much. So,
right. And
look, like, the other way is if you want me to come to an event and speak, I'm available. But, you know, now I've gotten to the point where it's like, I have a booking fee. It's not much, but there's a booking fee. You know, I'm not trying to be mean, but it's my time. I have to go out and speak and spend the week or weekend. You know, I can't pay for my own flight to come to an event to speak for people. You got to pay my, so there's things I'm not trying to be this like, oh yeah, you have to pay me to come here, but it's my time, you know, and all these content people, if you want them, I'm sure they're going to come, but you got to pay for their time. That's right. What they're doing. They left their job. I worked for Verizon Wireless Corporate. I left the benefits, all of it to do this. So.
Yeah. Well, brother, you're at the pulpit. You just turn around. You're preaching at the choir because I'm the same. I spent 30 years in corporate America, and the last time was the last time. And I called my wife and I said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not going to work for someone else. I'm not going to get a phone call, a meeting, a letter, an email saying, yeah, we're going to downsize. Like, I'm done. I'm done. And in order to do that, and I'm not here to tell people to quit their job, but I am saying, and what I want people to hear is that those of us that did need your support. Like we need your help. We need you to buy a t-shirt because that t-shirt would pay for avocados or eggs in the current economy.
like yeah, eggs you buying my bucks, tea. So.
You buying my tea will pay for some eggs at the grocery store. But I think it's important because, you know, those of us, I still believe in the American dream, man. I do. I believe this country was founded on small business and people that look, if there weren't people that did that, we wouldn't be where we are. Somebody had a vision. Steve Jobs had a vision when he created Apple. Like we could go down the list of all these people that created all these amazing companies. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be Steve Jobs. I don't want to run Apple. I just want to pay my bills and be able to pay for the eggs in the current economy at the grocery store and give my family a good job, you know, a good support. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think that's a really great way of looking at stuff too, is like, look, you know, the American dream was small business. It was mom and pop. It was supporting local. And we got away from that because of big corporations like Amazon and Walmart and Target, and things were super easy to just go to the store or Instacart or do whatever. But that's why I can't get mad when I see on my Facebook a girl selling her t-shirts, because I'm like, this is a small business.
Right.
And what we've seen over the last decade or decade and a half is those small businesses going out of business.
Right.
So if you do want to support your neighbor, if you do want to support somebody that is for the American dream, I would rather buy from them. You know, I can't say that I've completely stopped shopping at big box altogether, because there are some times when you need prescriptions and you have to go there, and then you run in, you're like, oh, this Christmas thing is really cute, I'll buy it. But for the most part, like clothes, I can show you my closet. There is not one shirt now in my closet that was bought at a Target, or I mostly wear these. Now my nice shirts, I do have to go to the big stores and buy them, like my button downs and stuff. But you know, all of my t-shirts, if I see a shirt that I like, I buy it from them on the small TikTok thing, on the TikTok shop. And so yeah, I think it's important to know that is the small business. It's just in a different form nowadays. And people need to remember that this little box here, this TikTok and all this stuff, this is your new stores. You know what I mean?
Show front. Right.
So
okay, we got a few minutes left, and now it's going to get. So anybody that doesn't want to get into politics or anything else, click out now. Like, this is where you leave. All right.
No, stay.
Hi. All right. First of all, man, I this is going to be, and you and I have not talked about this. Welcome to Unscripted. So you are a gay man. You live in America.
Yeah.
And you are proud of that. And I'm proud to be your friend now. And I just want to know, the landscape, in my opinion, has changed. You talk about this in TikTok. And I'm so sorry. I want to be honorable. Okay. And I don't know the language. I don't know the world we live in now. I don't understand. So I want to say your preference, your lifestyle, I feel has been hijacked.
That part.
By other things. So man, I want to give you I sent you my little square platform, my little 4x4 platform. Man, this is your platform. And I want to be so honorable because if I say something out, please give me the grace to understand that I just don't know what I'm talking about. But man, I feel like where you are in the world has been hijacked by movements that are not fair to your community, which you use the word quite often. I'll shut up now because I'm probably going to say something stupid that will, and I'm not here to offend, because I love you dearly.
Me, it takes a lot to offend me.
Well, but you know, I love you dearly. So I want to give you the platform to ask the question. There's a lot of stuff happening in the world with LGBTQ, blah, 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 blah. Right, man. I'm just going to shut up. Where are we at with this?
Great question. You know, listen, I come from the generation of the LGB community that was just normal and wanted to live their lives. We had our clubs and our bars and we did our thing and nobody really cared. But I think that our elder gay community, they came a long way to just be accepted. You know, you look at the 70s and 80s and they were labeled as child predators. You know, people were like scared to have them around their kids. And then we moved past that because it was proven that we weren't. And then you look at the AIDS pandemic of the 90s, you know, the 80s and 90s, and it was every gay person is going to give you AIDS, which we found out later that that wasn't true. So it was more of a blood transfusion issue, and it does run through the gay community, whatever. And then you bring us to today. We've worked so hard to do all the things to finally be able to marry in all 50 states, finally be able to live our lives that we want, finally be able to adopt children in certain states that we want to adopt children, finally not have people gasp and pull their kids when we walk by. All of these things to finally just live under the radar, normal society for a group of people, which is a very small group. It's about 1% of the people that are the loudest. Wow. That have come in, hijacked the community, used it, abused it, and then made everybody's thought process that they got rid of then come back to them now and say, ah, I remember why I didn't like you muppets. I didn't like you guys because in the 80s, they told us X, Y, and Z. Well, now you've proven it.
Right.
I remember in the 90s when they told us X, Y, and well, now you've proven it again.
Yeah.
So that is why I speak out against this, is because I want to wake up my gay community that I remember, that I worked in. I worked in the bars with drag queens. Everyone loves a great drag show. It is the funniest shit in the world. Drag queens are the best time. Everyone adores drag queens, but it's adult entertainment.
Mm.
It's for adults.
Yeah.
Okay? Gay bars are no place for children.
Right.
Gay bars are not a place for children. So bars, period, are not a place for... I mean, I wouldn't take my niece or nephew to a strip club.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like... It has been hijacked. We're trying to get it back to a place where it was like, all right, guys, you have to understand that the second you got children involved in this whole scenario, that's when moms and dads were like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Time out. Right.
Slow down. Like, and we're in 2023. I'm pretty sure every single person on the planet has a gay person or lesbian person in their family or friends group. I mean, and by the way, side note, sorry to backtrack a little bit, but I hate the fact that we even have to use these sexual identities in general, because it's really nobody's business what anybody wants to do, whether it's you or me or the next guy, the guy sitting next to me. I have many friends that identify as straight. They live their life as straight, but they have a lot of weird little things. That's not my business. That's your business with your wife. You do what you want to do. You don't have to come out and put yourself into a community.
Right, right.
Nobody's paying your mortgage. Nobody's buying your eggs, $40 a carton. So I think that Gen Z is, I don't know what happened with Gen Z, Aaron.
Mm. Like
it's hard to say because Gen Z is those are the kids of the Gen Xers and the millennials. And I don't know where we went wrong, but man, are I think that they just want to be included in some type of thing. And then they jump on to the next thing. And then they think that they're doing a good thing, but they're really ruining it.
Can I interject really quick? It's our fault. The people you just mentioned, the millennials, the Gen X, it's our fault. And we need to be accountable.
It is.
We are the parents in the room. And if that next generation is what they are, it's twofold. One, technology and the advancement of all that, right? Like that's massive. But I handed my kid an iPhone at some age. and I handed my kid an iPad at somebody, and we're hopefully people aren't clicking out, but we're on a different rant now. But I handed my kid, I decided rather than hiring a babysitter or being accountable and being responsible for my kid, I handed them an iPad. And now I wonder why they're addicted to all of the things that that device provides. But you know,
is it our fault completely? Because
we got to be accountable, man. We got to be accountable.
You do have to be accountable, but it's so easy to hand that off. And I said this, I was in a podcast, I think yesterday or the day before that, we had this conversation too. I remember when we did not have this these iPads and these phones. And I know I'm sounding like my grandparents right now, but it's so true. I remember when we didn't have that stuff. And I remember having intimate moments with like father and son moments, like with my dad, mm-hmm. right? That made mm-hmm. me the man that I am today, right?
Sure.
Whether it was just him and I outside grilling or just him and I outside putting the Christmas lights up like mm-hmm. Clark Griswold and I'm standing at the bottom of the ladder. And he's swearing the whole time and right. dropping shit. We're having that bond moment. Whereas mm-hmm. now everything is so accessible. Everything is so easy. And now I'm like, hi, I would like to have lights installed. Oh, there's a company for that? Great. Can you please hire them? I don't care how much it costs. Thank you. Right. And they come and they put your Christmas lights up. So that bonding, fam, that goes right back to actually perfect. Goes right back to the beginning of our podcast when we talked about other countries. That family bond.
Right.
It doesn't exist here in the United States.
Right. I agree with you 100%.
So, we have to hold ourselves accountable. But, yeah, I think that there's a lot of factors.
I could have sent my daughters to the Eras Tour movie, or I could have gone with them. I have an Eras Tour movie behind me. I don't know if you can see it.
Yeah.
Because that's what they cared about, and so I care about it. Whether I like Taylor Swift or not, it doesn't matter. My daughters do, and therefore I love Taylor Swift because they do. And I've seen the Eras Tour movie twice, I might like me some T Swizzle. But anyway, but to your point, like we can choose to be engaged or we can hand them an iPad. Yeah. So that's where I say we are accountable for that as parents. So I don't want to just give a free pass to those whose children we are now handing the country and saying, yeah, do your best with it, man. It's not an iPad. This is the country. This is our future. And so I love that you're passionate about that. And so now I do want to talk about politics. And again, if people are don't want to hear this, click out now. Love you. Thank you for listening so far. Okay. At some point, somehow you showed up in my FYP on TikTok because of your political views. You live in Florida. Trump. Are you friends with Trump? You've been to an event at his place or something?
I'm acquaintances with some of his family members now. Yes.
Okay.
Not Trump himself yet, but I am friends with or acquaintances with some of Trump's family members. Yes.
Yes. Okay. And I love that you call out the absolute, again, I apologize to anyone listening to this podcast that does not agree with us, but we're about to get real because I love that you count out the absolute absurdity, whether you like Trump or not, I don't care, but the absurdity that we have lived in the last 3 years, and I do not get political on this podcast, and I apologize, I don't care at this point if I lose, because I believe we are in the war of our lives right now. Do you have confidence in our commander-in-chief?
No.
No.
Listen, I would have, if he was doing, say our economy was super great right now, I would have given him the credit where credit is due. Okay. I spoke to physical people in other countries while I was there in Italy. And the first thing they said was, what happened?
Mm.
And I said, what do you mean? And they're like, Joe Biden, like mm-hmm. what? Like their prime minister's laughing at him. Like all these leaders around the world are laughing at him. And I don't care what you feel about Donald Trump. Is he an asshole? I guess, but he's a family man and everybody before this really wanted to like be on The Apprentice and go to his parties. So he wasn't that big of an asshole then. So, you know, it's like, the best leaders are the ones that people fear, unfortunately. And that's in any type of set, you know, not fear necessarily when you're at work, like you don't want to fear your manager or boss, but you know, when I was the store manager, my employees knew that I was cool as shit. But if I came in and what I told y'all to do yesterday wasn't good, we ain't getting a fucking smile out of me today.
Right.
They knew that.
Yeah.
I wasn't a pushover. So yeah, man, I'm really worried about it. And I think that the turning point right now is if you go on Twitter and look up Cardi B's video, you will see the frustration in Cardi B because she has family members that are not as wealthy as she is. If you look at Michael Rapaport, who I absolutely
crazy nuts.
He is super unhinged nuts. But he's seeing it. You know, you had Mark Dwayne Johnson, who also is somebody who, you know, stood behind Joe Biden, and he was just on the Joe Rogan podcast. He admits got a problem. So take what you feel about each of these people and put it to the side for a second and say, what's best right now?
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it was way better 4 years ago.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying, brother.
That is right now. So, I'm scared. I'm scared. Yeah. Worried.
We're running out of time for your time. I got all day. So, I don't know.
I know. But I have, just like I invited you, I have a couple actually that are also like people on social media. And this is how open I am, where I'm like, I open my house. They are here from Canada. They're content creators from Canada.
Okay.
And so they're in Florida, and I'm like, come hang out. And they're like, we're on our way.
Well, that's it, man. You added me on social media. I don't know, man. It's a God thing. And I'm thankful for you. I'm so thankful for you. I really am. All right, and I got like 3 minutes on the shot clock. What scares you the most right now?
The fact that more Americans will be homeless and hungry than ever before in our lifetime.
Will you come back on again?
100% as many times as you want.
I'm going to wear a tee and like long surfer shorts when I come to your pool.
Why? It's the complete opposite of what the sign says outside.
I'm sorry. It's fine. All right. What's next for you?
Inside joke. Oh, what's next for me? I am rolling with the punches. Listen, I've been tapping into the, you know, the comedy thing a lot more. So you're going to see me with a lot of people that you might not have seen me with before. I do have a podcast of my own. So if anybody loves conspiracy podcasts, I'm on the Failure to Stop Network, which is an amazing network with my buddy Eric Tanzi, who runs the network. And we have a show called Night Shift Top Secret and Top Secret Information. And we've covered everything from exorcisms to government conspiracies to satanic cults. So I've actually met another podcaster here in Florida where I have now access to hauntings, places that are haunted. And him and his sister do some stuff. So you're going to see a lot of different aspects. I mean, I might wrangle an alligator. I mean, listen, I have no filter. I told you that. I have no filter, no shame, really don't care. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So who knows? I mean, I might have a monkey one day in my house because I'm obsessed with these little, have you seen this? Are you on Monkey Talk? Oh my God. They're these little, what are they called? Spider
monkeys?
No, they're the cutest. You have no idea. I'm obsessed. Like, I want one so bad. Jimmy, my other half, will not let me have a monkey. But I think I might have a connection to have one hang out with me for the day. So we might see that.
All right. Give me every single link. We got a minute left on the shot clock. Give me all your links so people can love you and support you like I do.
Super easy. Conservative Ants on every platform, including Truth Social. If you want a ghost bed, you know, use code ANT for 50% off ghost bed, ghost pillows. All of my links, though, are in my bio. I've endorsed America First Healthcare, which is a great healthcare company that kicks the government out of your healthcare, gets you the best plans for you and your family. It's like the Expedia of healthcare. So we work with every major provider. That is in my link tree. Set up your free healthcare exam. I told you, I'm like jack of all trades. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm going to teach Aaron how to swim when he comes in. So I have floaties.
How do you know I can't swim? How do you know I can't swim?
You look like the guy that can't swim.
I'm the guy that can swim. You know what I get all the time is that I'm Hank from Breaking Bad, and I'm really tired of hearing that. I really am really tired of hearing it. Like, seriously. All right, man, I love you. I know we're literally the shot clock just went off. Man, I love you. Thank you so much for follow on Twitter, responding to a DM. Thank you for your voice. It's so important.
Yes.
Regardless of where that voice lands, it's so important. And man, I looked so forward to today, and I'm going to look forward to the next one because you're going to come back. And I promise you, when I get down to Florida again, I'm going to make that 3-hour trip from Orlando to Fort Myers.
I'm almost going to tell you, I won't come back on the show unless you come down here first. So,
All right. Bet. Is bet. All right, brother. No, I'll be seeing you on TikTok. I love you, man. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep your voice up. And thank you so much for just being my guest.
Yeah, anytime, brother.
All right, we'll talk soon. Thank you. Bye.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Unscripted Podcast with your host, Aaron Conrad, from his studio in Old Hilliard. Make sure to like, share, follow, and review on your favorite podcast platforms. Also, make sure to check out my song, Great and Mighty One, on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you find your music. We'll see you next time on Unscripted with Aaron Conrad.